Hey Cheryl.
Hey Cheryl. Hey Debbie. Hey Savannah.
Hey y'all.
Hey y'all.
Debbie kind of just saying that Debbie and her girls listen at the dinner table to Growing with NTS. So shout out to you guys. We love you.
Yeah. Thanks for supporting us.
And hey Michelle.
Hey Michelle.
Yeah, I wondered where that extra harmony came in. She says, "Oh, you could tell I was singing aloud." Yeah, it was a sweet extra harmony in that song. We liked it, Cheryl.
It's like a soft snore.
Don't know what that means. Just ignore her.
Sweet.
Oh.
Right, you gonna say a prayer?
I am going to say a prayer now that I know how, right?
Now you're not gonna lay it on me anymore.
Of course, as you know, Sunday I spoke about prayer. I totally investigated what prayer ought to look like. So let's see. No, we will. Hey, Marge.
Hey, Marge.
We will take a moment here for prayer. I got distracted. Connie was playing with the cat. All right, here we go. Holy Spirit, we come to you in gratitude and humility. We are so grateful for the opportunity to teach what we would learn. And we know that the only way that can be done is to be humble, so that the truth can come through us, so that we are not obstructions to the truth, but conduits to the truth. Amen.
Sweet.
Okay. Hey, Dove.
Hey, Dove.
Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Okay. Oh, Debbie said love from Debbie Ottoman Savannah.
No.
Okay, so folks, we are here for Growing with NTI. We are on page 303, NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
Yeah, and I just before we went on the air, I was saying how cool that was that that verse 13 from the chapter 13 where it says, "Trust is the means and love is the reason." It's just Jacqueline said, "Is that a song?" It should be a song. Yeah. How succinct is that? Just simply trusting is the means is the means to what we want, and what we want is love. So,
Yeah, trust is the means and love is the reason. Give everything to trust in the Holy Spirit because love is all that you desire. And then, gosh, that reminds me of today's contemplation. And I'm just wondering if I have that up. I don't, but let's look at it real quick before we start here. Pulling it up on my tablet. And I apologize for the radio silence. It's being slow. I'm sure Connie knows today's daily contemplation off the top of her head. Go ahead, Connie.
you better go back to your prayer. Or you better be humble.
Oh, that wasn't humble.
That was sadistic.
Okay, here it is. The daily contemplation. Have faith in your truth. You are love. Any other thought is a dream about yourself. Do not invest in dreams anymore. Let your eyes be open to your truth. So, Yeah, and it's funny too because that's kind of the answer to the questions I was asking. For Sunday service, trust is the means, love is the reason. What more do you need to know, right? Oh, thank you, Kathy. I knew Kathy knew it by heart, but I didn't look at the screen.
Okay, Kathy. Yeah, baby.
Oh no, I did not, she said. right. So here we go with NTI, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Do not wish for gifts that are not yours, for everything is yours. To wish for something that you believe you do not have is to believe that you are an illusion of yourself.
You have it all, I guess.
Yeah, and it's funny, it's what we do. We're like, wow, I wish I was enlightened like Regina. I wish Holy Spirit would talk to me so I could write a book. Right? I mean, or whatever. I wish I was that clear when I spoke on the mic in Pal Talk. And so we do that thing, maybe even particularly with our desires. We do that thing where we go, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Right? We do that separation thing. I'm different than that person is. That person has more of this or less of that. Less fat, more brains.
Whatever it is, that they got more and I got less.
Right? Yeah. So that's just another way
Separate ourselves
we
from
say,
each other.
yeah, and we use spirituality to do it.
Yeah.
Says, lay down your wishing and your partial definition of who you are. Be open to receive the truth. Again, very funny because that's a as we've learned from Regina, that's one of those fundamental things that most of us have when we do our root cause inquiry. It's one of those basement thoughts that we get to is the I am bad thought, right?
Yeah, or I'm not enough, or
Yeah.
some inadequacy there.
Yeah. And it's like, that's not really humility. That's a denial of the truth of who you are. So, yeah. So just,
It's a false humility.
yeah. Yeah, even if you believe every minute of it. Yeah, but it's a matter of, just stopping the comparison, stopping the measure, put the measuring rod down, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a false tool.
Says, you are the Son of God.
And
Go ahead.
that's more than adequate, right?
Right. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
You are the Son of God. You do not see yourself in this way because you choose to see yourself in other ways. The other definitions that you choose are chosen by you as a mask of who you would like to be. But a mask covers that which you are. In living out your roles as you have chosen them to be, you have forgotten the truth that is under the mask. Yeah, again, all those things that we just said. Oh, I'd like to be that, and I'd like to be this, and I wish I were more outgoing, and I wish I were better spoken, and right? It's like, why are you wishing for that stuff? If
Yeah,
we would choose a partial, a mask as opposed to what you really are. Go ahead.
and we do that all under the facade of making a better me, but it's still going to be the mask. It's still not the truth of who you are.
Surely the one under the mask is the creator of everything that makes up the mask. Surely the one who made the mask is beyond the mask that he made.
Cha-ching.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're the source of everything. We are that is. There is no isness that it is that we're not a part of.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds you of the movie Bagger Vance last night, that there's the whole idea of the flow. I mean, you are all that is. You are the unlimited. So even trying to be a better golfer or thinner or any of these things, it's still a limitation. It's a limitation of who you are. It's still a mask.
Yeah, it's interesting in that you bring up Bagger Vance, because in that movie, for a moment, he begins to listen to guidance and relax and be all he can be, right? And, you know, be in the field and just, you know, just sweet golf swing and hitting the ball out there forever. And then he starts taking credit for it. Unconsciously, I guess, chooses, oh, I'm a great golfer.
Yeah.
And it all goes to hell from there.
Well, you know, and then Bagger Vance says, you know, do this. And he goes, oh, no, I don't need to do that.
I'm a great golfer.
I don't need to listen to you anymore.
Right.
I don't need to listen to who I really am for my guidance. I need to participate in my illusion of who I think I am, a great golfer.
Yeah.
And immediately he was put back in his place by his own self.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So
because he chose to see himself as the separate self, even if it's an idealized version, it's still the separate self, and that is not where his strength came from. His strength came from being the creator, the one who can even imagine a separate self.
Yeah, is participating in that flow, in that given ability as opposed to the separate ability.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, participating in the given ability as opposed to the imagined separate ability. Yeah. You who limit yourself to the mask, limit one who is unlimited. And you do this by your own choice, like Connie just said. Lay down the mask. Lay down the roles and concepts that tell you who you are. Realize that you have forgotten everything beyond the mask that you have held to. Become an empty shell without any part of the mask held for security. Release all of it that I may fill you with the memory of who you are.
Yeah, and that sounds like it's really hard to do, and it, you know, for us who aren't that used to doing it, it may be outside of what we're used to, maybe our comfort zone, but it is just not identifying as the roles, it's identifying as the concepts. It's letting all of those go, you know, from like we've talked about 100 times in this class, you know, the ego, if you see yourself as a mother, the ego wants to see yourself as a good mother or a bad mother, but the ego wants to put a label on it for you to identify with. You know, if I'm a good mother, then I separated myself from everybody else because I'm not like everybody else. I'm better than everybody else because I'm a good mother. If I'm a bad mother, I'm separate from everybody else because everybody else is a good mother and I'm just not quite measuring up. But the truth is, you know, you're the love of God.
Yeah.
You're all of that. And you don't have to identify with a good mother or a bad mother.
You know, I was searching the ceiling for which book says this. Seemed like it's something that we looked at in the MPP courses, but I'm not sure. But somebody said that both the ego and the call home, the Holy Spirit, are asking the same question all the time. Who am I? And the ego is eager to tell you who you are. Oh, you're a mother. And to top it off, you're a bad mother.
Right.
Right? So that if you're an empty shell, you're asking, who am I? So that you can be shown. And you can't be shown if you think you know who you are. I'm a mother, I'm a golfer, and I'm a judge, and I'm a, good driver, and I'm a whatever it is. But if you're so full of that stuff, if those are the answers that you believe when you ask, who am I, then you've got no room to be shown what you really are.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and we've talked about it before in this class as well, that with every statement you make, you're making a statement about your identity. So, do you want that to be a limiting statement? Even if you say I'm the best golfer, it's a limiting statement.
Yeah.
Even if you say I'm the best mother, I'm a good mother, it's a limiting, separating statement. Instead of being that open shell, the empty shell, that doesn't have to identify the concepts, the restraints, the limitations. You know, even a good mother is a limitation.
Yeah.
Instead of just being, the love of God, the Holy Son of God.
Yeah, there was something there that just went, phew, so I guess it doesn't need to be said. It was in my view, and then it was gone again. So, okay. You who limit yourself to the mask, limit one who is unlimited. And you do this by your own choice. Lay down the mask. Lay down the roles and concepts that tell you who you are. Realize that you have forgotten everything beyond the mask that you have held to. I read this before, didn't I? That's okay.
Sorry.
Become as an empty shell without any part of the mask held for security. Release all of it, that I may fill you with the memory of who you are.
We can't get past this paragraph, but I love that sentence 11. It says, become an empty shell without the mask, without any part of the mask held for security. So if I'm a good mother, that's my security blanket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I might do everything else wrong in my life, but by God, I'm a good mother.
Right.
That's my security blanket.
Yeah.
Now I'm wrapped tight in that, so that I'm caught up in those concepts, Those things that you think are like that, you don't realize the subtleties that take on in your life. You know, oh, I got to go to the grocery store. You know, I got to have milk for my kids. I'm a good mother. You know, oh, no, my kids can't do that because I'm a good mother, and I'm a good mother would never. You know, you on and on and on, and you don't even realize the things that you're doing because of how you these constraints that you put on yourself because. So you're not open to the guidance at all. The Holy Spirit couldn't tell you what to do. Your right mind, your intuitive mind, couldn't possibly tell you what to do because, no, I'm a good mother, and a good mother wouldn't let her kids go to the movies without them, you know?
Yeah. And, Floyd Henderson talks about, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, about how we make up all of these different roles or personalities or personas. And each of them has a drive to be. And that drive to be drives you, right? So I'm a good mother. So, like you said, so I've got to do this, this, and this, right? Toe that line. And, and I'm a responsible homeowner, so I've got to do this, this, and this. So you're always driven by the desire to be of each of those personas that you've adopted. So like you said, there is no room left for guidance, for being in the moment,
or an
for any of
person.
It.
Because I'm, if I'm a good mother, my house has got to be clean and on and on and on. There's no authenticity. There's we're driven by an insane set of rules that we have made up. Because those rules are characteristic of what we've decided who we are.
You do not know who you are. This is true enough. Only you do not know it is true if you are insisting on clinging to your mask. The heart knows that you are not the many faces of the mask that you wear. The heart knows you are beyond the mask. Yet the heart cannot know what the mind does not know. The heart can only know there is more, and then call to the mind to seek that which the heart feels. But if the mind answers the heart with belief in the mask, the heart knows it has not been answered. That's an interesting way of saying that. I wouldn't have put the mind back in there again because that seems to scramble it up. That's not the way I generally use, you know, the term mind. Because generally when I'm talking about mind, I'm talking about thinking mind, which is just a pain in the ass and an obstacle.
Well, I think that's why it's talking about it here,
well,
too.
No, because it says the heart will, yet the heart cannot know what the mind does not know. The heart can only know there is more, and then call to the mind to seek that which the heart feels. So I don't know that saying that differently. It's just a different way of saying it. I mean, it's like, you know, it's telling you to give up your belief in concepts and da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
But it you know, when I talk about the heart, I'm talking about, and so is NTI, but talking about that which is beyond the thinking mind.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but it says, but if the heart answers, but if the mind answers, the heart, what's it say? But if the mind answers the heart with belief in the mask.
Right. Right. It just seems to want to get the mind involved, and I wouldn't have thought of getting the mind involved because, man, it's not helpful for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what it's saying. Don't get the mind involved. Just be that empty shell.
Well, then it, Regina, you think you need to go back and rewrite this paragraph?
The next
maybe
minute.
wait, maybe it's me. Oh, we forgot we were gonna be humble.
So much for that. Now we're gonna start off.
Pray again.
The next sentence says, "Listen to the calling of the heart."
Yes. Well, so let's
screw the mind.
Let's start there. Listen to the calling of the heart. Lay down all belief in the mask. At the heart's true pleading, become as an empty shell that you may be filled with the true answer that satisfies the question of the heart.
Let's move on.
Well, wait.
You're going back to the mind to see if you're right.
No, I'm not. Y'all hear that projection? No, I'm just trying to say, see if it's what it said about, it says that may satisfy the question of the heart. So I was just looking back up here to see what it said the question of the heart was. You know, and I talked about what I believe the question of the heart is on Sunday. Tell me who I am. Right?
Well, and you're right. That's a question of the ego, and it's a question of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Or the answer of the Holy Spirit.
So anyway, it talks about the question of the heart. And on Sunday, I talked about, you know, it said, it when we were talking about prayer on Sunday, it said, look to the heart first. Look in your heart first to the true desire of the heart. And, you know, and of course, the reason that I was talking about that on Sunday is because I said, I don't know who I'm praying to, what I'm praying for, right? And I realized in contemplation of that material that the true desire of the heart, the only question of the heart, the only thing to ask in prayer is, please tell me who I am. Right?
Yeah.
So when it talks about the question of the heart here, I was looking to see if there was a clear reference to that in the material we had just read. I do not see a clear reference to the heart having a question in the, you know, in the first whatever page and a half of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But then it starts talking about the question of the heart. So that's all. At the heart's true pleading become as an empty shell that you may be filled with the true answer that satisfies the question of the heart, which would have to be, again, please tell me who I am. Yeah, I did. I did read the tip today. Cheryl, we talked about that. In fact, Kathy typed on the board a while ago, have faith in your truth. You are love. Any other thought is a dream about yourself. Do not invest in dreams anymore. Let your eyes be open to your truth. Yeah, there's no question. Yeah, you are love. You good?
Yeah.
Listen to the calling of the heart. Lay down all belief in the mask. At the heart's true pleading, become as an empty shell that you may be filled with the true answer that satisfies the question of the heart. Your mask is like a block to your truth. As you hold the mask up firmly, claiming it is what you are, that which is your truth is firmly hidden by you. Look, go ahead.
And I think as easily as your mask is a block to the truth, it could say your thinking mind is a block to your truth. Because your thinking mind, like we just said, is always claiming who you are.
Right.
With every statement you make, you're making a statement who I am, which is the mask.
Right, right.
So if I'm always making the statement, I'm always blocking the truth.
Right. Right, and as our reading showed on Sunday, it says, prayer is the unceasing act of thought. You either pray for everything or you pray for nothing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, there's no specificity. Screw you. Okay, come on. Let's go.
You were waiting for me to fuss at you for that.
What's
yes,
not?
You were. Just because you can't say specificity. Which, boy, I was glad I actually got
it.
Got right.
I think you just barely got it.
I know.
I think that was true projection. Let's go.
All right. Look carefully at what you do. Is this truly what you want to do? Do you wish to insist that you are what you are not? Can a mask, even though it is insisted upon, become truth? It is your truth that shines for all to see and recognize, not your mask. For masks are limits, and limits are not real. No one looks upon limits and feels freed. You know, it's just powerful. I mean, again, I'm going to be the best whatever out there. I'm going to be the best playwright ever. I'm going to be the best movie star ever. I'm going to be, you know, and that's just not where it's at. It's just not where it's at because, you know, again, can a mask, even though it is insisted upon, become truth?
Yeah, and you know, and it's so perfect that that we just had this Bagger Vance movie because, really, I mean, that was the crux of the movie. Is as long as he was in his humility without claiming a concept, he was in the flow.
Yeah.
And once he grabbed any of that, it was all egotistical BS.
Yeah.
Everything fell apart.
Yeah, well, and the interesting part is where...
I think that's what our real downfall is that sometimes when we're in our ego and it doesn't fall apart, then we think, oh, well, that's where we need to be. Just struggle and do be the very best and be on top of it. So we don't have a clear... I mean, if it was that clear, like it was in Bagger Vance, that every time we got into our I know mind, it would fall apart, then that would be pretty direct guidance not to get back into your I know mind. Mm-hmm. But because sometimes we get in our I know mind, you know, I'm the best, whatever, and it seems to work to a certain degree for us, then we think that that's where we should be.
Yeah. Well, and in fact, at the beginning of the movie, he was in his I know mind. I know I'm worthless. I know that I'm, you know, that I'm guilty. I know, you know, and he knew different things about himself at that point. But whether he was in the I know mind, I know I am bad, or I know I am good, being in the I know mind kept him from being in the flow, kept him from hearing guidance. Yeah. Kept him from the ease and peace of life. You know, when you're not in wearing the mask, when you're not making the proclamation, I know who I am, good or bad.
Right.
Yeah, and by the way, I think I was in my I know mine a moment ago because Cheryl asked me if I'd read the tip. I'm like, yeah, I read it. Listen, let me read it to you because Kathy posted it. That's not what Cheryl was talking about. Let me tell you what Cheryl was talking about. That was the Holy Spirit thought for the day. That's one of the 365 days of thoughts of awakening. What Cheryl was talking about was Regina's tip. And it says, Cheryl's quoted here, there's no reason to fear the mind. The mind can make a lot of noise, but if we don't give it meaning, it is a noisemaker and nothing more. You don't have to fight against the mind. In fact, fighting it isn't helpful. Instead, be kind to the mind.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
You ain't me.
Connie, of course, is quoting Revolver.
And Revolver in the elevator.
When he began to hear his mind as mind and not as himself. Remove the mask. Let truth be known that it may extend through you. This way, your brother recognizes the tight fit of his own mask, and he also seeks to be freed of limits. Lay down all limits that you have taken up upon yourself. I did not give you any of them. They are not of me. They are not of your truth. They are of the mask, by the mask, and for the mask. Therefore, they can only limit the mask. By laying down the mask, you lay down limits also. Okay.
Be more than the bad mother or the good mother. Right.
Right. Bottom of 304, NTI, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me remind you of the simplicity of what I request. Let me remind you of the simplicity of what I request. I do not ask you to judge which thoughts are to be laid down and which thoughts are to be kept, for such a request would keep you busy and stuck within illusion for an eternity. I ask you to willingly lay down everything but your trust. This is why the symbol of an empty shell is given. Keep nothing but the casing, which is trust. In this way, you hold on to nothing that blocks out truth, and truth may be freely given and freely welcomed as it is received. What is received when all that is false has been let go is only that which reflects truth. This, which is received as truth, shall fill you with new eyes and a joyous heart. In this way, you will be ready to point the way, for you will no longer be fooled by that which is false. You shall have a taste of truth. It is upon this recognition, which is the completeness of recognition within time, that you enter the fourth and final earthly phase of the path of truth with me. What is received when all that is false has been let go is only that which reflects truth. The fourth phase is a glorious phase upon which your feet shall barely touch the ground. As you walk the earth, you know where you walk, so that the earth is merely a symbol within the mind. You shall not know brothers, but you shall talk to them. You will not need food, but you will eat with joy. Music shall accompany you in your every moment, and yet you will have no need for your ears. Your sight will be changed from earthly sight to sight that is provided from heaven. All things shall be new, and you shall have no need for any of them. In this your joy shall be complete. I've been listening to the audiobook, Byron Katie's A Thousand Names for Joy. You know, this reminds me of that. I mean, my feet are pretty, I'm still clomping around. It says in this phase, your feet shall barely touch the ground, but I can tell you, I'm still clomping around here. Right. So, you know, this sounds sweet, but it's not really something that I can, you know, I have to trust that that's true, because that's not my experience. But when I read it, it sounds a lot like what Katie's talking about, what Byron Katie's talking about when she talks about her experience. Because, I mean, you know, she talks about having to make a real effort to understand, you know. I don't know, she said, oh, when her mom died, she said these people came up to her and they're like, they hadn't seen her for a while. And they're like, Katie, it's so good to see you. How's your mom? And she's like, oh, she's great. She's dead. And her daughter said, you can't say that to people. It freaks them out. But you know, she's not constrained by any of those false thoughts that say, you can't say that to people, you know? To conform to all those concepts, she would have to make an effort in that direction. And right now, I mean, to not conform, I have to make an effort in the other direction, right? So it's just anyway, that's what I thought of when I read that paragraph.
Yeah, I, once again, I kind of feel like this is talking about the whole flow thing. You know, things just come naturally and joyously, and there's no strain, there's no struggle. You know, a music accompanies you. You know, you don't need food. You know, I'm not overindulging in food. I don't need it, but I eat it. And, you know, it's just a natural flow of life, of joy. And we've all had, you know, small taste of it where we go, you know, what a day. I mean, I was just in the flow and things went well and I went here and they knew exactly what I was talking about and said, oh, come in, let me take care of you. And, you know, and went to the next place and it was just perfect. My timing was perfect and this had just happened and this was about to happen and so great and so good.
Yeah. And he said something about a taste of it. There it is. You shall have a taste of truth. Yeah. Okay, we are on page 305, verses 20 through 28. The purpose of your life in the fourth phase of living on earth shall not be different than the purpose at any other time. Only now, in the fourth phase, the distractions have been erased. In letting yourself become an empty shell, you freed yourself from the desire for distraction.
And, that's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Yeah. In letting yourself become an empty shell, you freed yourself from the desire for distraction. Now, in the fourth stage, your focus is complete. Now, you know what you want, and you want it wholly. And, you know, when I watched, I want to talk about Bagger Vance again. When I watched that with John Mark Stroud the other day, that was his takeaway from the movie was that, you know, we are creators. We create what it is we want through our choice, right? And that's exactly what this paragraph is saying. And that's what he said Bagger Vance taught to Ranulph Juna in that movie. And that's exactly what this says. It's like, once you became the empty shell, you freed yourself from any desire for distraction. Being free of the desire, you are free of the distraction.
And you can see how that works. I mean, that's making sense in the context we were talking about wanting to be a good mother. When you free yourself of the desire to be a good mother, or with association or calling yourself a bad mother and living in under.
Or to be a mother. I mean, to see yourself as a mother, even the category.
Even as a mother, yes. Yeah. Even as a mother, as a category as a mother. Because of the limitations that are put on that. So to be in the present moment without attaching myself to a concept, to just be totally present so I can hear that intuitive voice. But I can't hear that intuitive voice when I'm acting out my role.
Right.
Even if it's a good role.
Yeah, and that adherence to that tending to the desires is the desire to be distracted from.
Exactly, that is the distraction.
Yeah.
So you freed yourself from the desire for distraction. Yeah, to be a good mother, to be a good homemaker,
to be good anything.
Yeah.
You know, I started to say a while ago that it seems like we get a big shove down the path when we just grow weary of it all.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you know, when you realize that, you know, even if you insist on being, what was it said? You know, no matter how hard you insist, the mask can never become true.
Right.
And at some point, after you keep insisting and keep insisting and seeing, well, that ain't it, that ain't it, that ain't it, you realize the truth of that statement, that no matter how glittery, how wonderful, whatever mask it is, you realize that that's not, you know, that's not the goal. That's not the sine qua non of existence. That's not the, you know, that's not it.
Right.
That's not it. And if after you do it over and over and over again, you grow weary of it, and it begins to dawn on you that no matter how great a fill in the blank I am, that will not bring me happiness. That will not bring me peace of mind. That will not bring me joy.
Right. Yeah, and I think the Course talks on it. You know, people rise up on their deathbed or whatever. It's you know, I've done this a whole life, without the satisfaction. You know, there's no real satisfaction here. There's something that's unfulfilled.
Yes.
Even as I've, you know, done what might be considered great things in the world, but there's an unfulfillment. And I think part of that is why, you know, sometimes we're seen as wiser when we get older, because we realize the unsatisfaction of the life we've led. But what NTI is giving us here is saying, you know, you don't have to wait till you're 80 and have this realization that your life is going to be unfulfilled by trying to be the best whatever. That right now you can stop and say, I have a voice that knows, an inner intuition, a higher divine part of myself that knows, and that I can listen to that, and I don't have to get bogged down in the concepts and the roles and that separate me from my brother and keep me from hearing this intuitive voice.
Right on. During the fourth phase, there are no distractions. I'm going to back up and read that last paragraph again, okay? The purpose of your life in the fourth phase of living on earth shall not be different than the purpose at any other time. Only now, in the fourth phase, the distractions have been erased. In letting yourself become an empty shell, you freed yourself from the desire for distraction. Now, in the fourth stage, your focus is complete. Now, you know what you want, and you want it wholly.
And what we want is to be who we are, which is the Holy Son of God, and have the joy and peace and love that comes with that, knowing who you are.
Yeah. During the fourth phase, there are no distractions. During the fourth phase, there are no fears. There are no doubts, and there is no feeling of guilt. There is only a knowing of what is true and a life that is the willingness for acceptance.
Wow. There is only a knowing of what is true and a life that is the willingness for acceptance. So it's a kind of accepting what is, loving what is, letting everything be okay as it is, the willingness for acceptance. Yeah, I didn't even say you have to be told acceptance or love what it is, just said you had to be willing.
And I'm looking through my files here. It's got the Sunday service stuff in it. That was that last prayer that we looked at in Sunday from Hebrews that said, pray only that the knowledge of your truth may be restored to you. Let all things within dreams be just as they may. I mean, that's like no longer paying homage to the dreams, you know.
Let that be as it may.
However it may, because that's not, that's a distraction.
And it's not the truth of me.
It's not the truth of me. So why wouldn't you allow everything that's not the truth of me?
Yeah, it's once again, we were talking about earlier, every time you open up your mouth, it's a statement of who you are. But it's only when you stop needing that to be that way.
Can you say that last sentence again?
Well, let's see. How did you say it? You said, things be as they may. You know, the world may do and be whatever the world may be and do, but that's not my identity.
Right. Right. And so why would I have a need for it to be different?
Right. It would only, if I needed that the world was to say something about me, would only be the only reason that I would need for it, the world to be in a certain way.
That's right. If I was looking for the world and the things of the world to tell me who I am, would I need it to be different than it shows up,
right,
than it appears.
Right. So if the world is pointing out something and I don't like the way it's pointing, I think it's saying something about me, then I'm all distressed.
Right.
If it's saying that I'm not a good mother when I know I am, I made this identity, then I'm distressed.
And then I would seek to change it.
Then I would need to go and prove, I would need to do something and prove, oh, by golly, I am a good mother. But there's no need for any of that.
Let the things of the dream be just as they may.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking about putting one step in front of the next and without having to mentally label myself. And that's the willingness for acceptance. That's a life freed from the distractions, however you want to say it.
All right.
Without the fear, without the doubts, without the guilt.
The one that seems to be in the fourth stage is but a symbol of the truth that is. So this one must pass away also. But in its passing, you pass from a final illusion of beauty, lowercase b, of beauty, to capital B, beauty, that cannot be contained in illusion. But in its passing, you pass from a final illusion of beauty to beauty that cannot be contained in illusion. It's beyond our ability to conceptualize, right?
Yeah.
It's beauty beyond that which can be spoken. So this sounds a whole lot like the happy dream. Kathy, by the way, says you wouldn't be distressed at all if you really knew you were a good mother. The distress comes from my own doubt about myself as a mother. But this sounds a lot like the A Course in Miracles happy dream, you know, this fourth phase, right?
Right.
But this is saying you pass beyond that into a beauty that's beyond what, you know, that which can be spoken is not the Tao, right? The Tao that can be spoken is not the Tao, right? It's just beyond the ability to. But it is described here as beauty, capital B beauty.
Nice.
Yeah. You pass from form, which reflects light, to light. And that's cool, right? You're no longer stuck in the reflection. You pass from form, which reflects light, to light, which shines into form. You shall not know death in your passing from the fourth phase to light. For this passing is recognition of life. This passing is acceptance of all that is true and all that has always been true. This passing is the final release of illusion, so that no illusion may appear to you. And death is an illusion, so you shall not know death because you have accepted that illusion does not exist. Well, and who was writing about that? Maybe it was Dr. David Hawkins that said, you know, people talk about death. Who's ever talked? It's maybe Regina was writing about it, actually, in the tips. But it was like, you can't tell me about death. If you can tell me about it, you know, because we want to think of death as the final end, right? Nothing, you know, nothing after death. But no one, and I think it was Regina writing about it in the tips, no one has actually experienced death, right? Now, you might have had a near-death experience or experience where you seem to have died and come back, but you didn't experience an end. You know, there was no end. There's no death to experience.
Right. Yeah.
That itself is an illusion.
Yeah, and we see laying down the body
and go, oh, that ended.
That's over. They must be dead.
Right.
Well, Yeah, because none of us want to think about the end of our existence when the body's put in the ground, right?
Right.
That is.
Yeah, our continuity of being is everything to the
exactly.
individual man. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so you shall not know death because you have accepted that illusion does not exist, right? Death is an illusion, so you shall not know death because you have accepted that illusion does not exist. Therefore, be willing to become an empty shell, and be willing for this completely. For it is through emptiness that illusion is released, and it is through releasing it that illusion is taken away.
That's really profound. I mean, you know, we all want to let the Holy Spirit have part of it. You know, we all want to say, I'll listen, I'll be present for this and that. But to live that life totally and completely, is what this is talking about, I think.
Yeah. It seems like the bridge too far most of the time. Yeah. Okay. So we're out of time.
Well.
And Cheryl, for the record, tonight we covered NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 15. So we love you guys. We really, really, really are grateful for the opportunity to teach what we would learn. And we thank you for allowing us to do that and to be on our journey with us.
Yeah, I'm really finding this transformative to share with you in this way, Jacqueline, and to hear the book and to hear your insights, and to, it's pretty profound. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Connie. I love you.
I love you too.
We love you guys.
Good night.
Bye.